Your car is gathering a lot of data about you, and that data could be valuable in all kinds of ways.
GPS, windshield wiper, rain, barometer. Detroit built those to help make the car safer and the drive safer. But somebody like Google looks at that and says, wow, that's pretty accurate weather.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. According to AAA, Americans spend 293 hours driving each year. Where we go, how long it takes to get there, what radio station we listen to, where we stop for lunch, which routes we take, that is all data. And make no mistake, our cars can and will be collecting that data the more connected they get. One veteran of the car industry thinks that data has a lot of value, so much so that we could trade it for the car itself. John Ellis worked as a global technologist with Ford, and he's the author of a new book called The $0 Car.
So the idea is, what happens if and when Google and the others come into transportation, which, for example, Google's already doing. The idea being that you get a chance to use some of the rich data that's coming off the car, and what happens when Google gets to sell it, do you get to take a piece of it? So the book is a call to action for consumers to understand how they might, too, enjoy a $0 service or offering.
And how might it work? I mean, I assume there is no sort of infrastructure in place right now to benefit from, you know, trading data to car makers or anybody.
There isn't, but we're closer than I think most people realize. And what I mean by that is, every person who buys a car does enter into a contract, right? So there's an entire mechanism by which to purchase the car. Say you were asked, or that you offer, to sell 6 sensors: GPS, headlights, windshield wiper, rain, barometer, and traction control. Detroit built those to help make the car safer and the drive safer. But somebody like Google looks at that and says, wow, that's pretty accurate weather right there at the car. We are interested in buying it because companies like NOAA, National Oceanic Atmospheric Administration, might want data, mm-hmm. as opposed to investing federal funds, right?
In the book, you say it is a call to action for consumers, and you seem to be saying, listen, you need to rise up and take this for yourselves.
Well, this story started as a narrative when I was at Ford to try and explain to Ford why was a company like Google going after and entering into the automotive industry. And it's not because they necessarily want to make a better car. It really comes down to this concept of their portfolio of all these $0 products, keeping people, you know, sort of hooked in, right? And so, you know, still shocks me to this day that people don't fully understand how that model works. The second part was to educate people on sort of where we're at in terms of car technology with respect to sensors and what's happening with Internet of Things and smart cities and where we're moving to in terms of data generation. And so there's a sort of an awareness campaign. And then the call to action really is to start asking for it. Start asking for the opportunity to participate or demand a full price, meaning don't take the zero price offer, take the full price offer, and in essence, buy your privacy.
Right.
So explicitly say no, get a contract, and protect your privacy.
Is there a hierarchy of data? I mean, you know, when people see this concept, I think that we immediately go to the personal and we think, absolutely not. Are you tracking everywhere I drive? But you're also talking about options like, as you mentioned, wiper data, brakes data, suspension data, things that actually seem somewhat benign and you could maybe trade to bring down the cost of the car. Are we overthinking the data question?
I don't know that we're necessarily overthinking it. Now that we're aware of the fact that there are some of these sensors, maybe, just maybe, privacy as a product is what we should be contemplating. Let's stop trying to regulate privacy. Let's actually make it a product and let market dynamics and contract, you know, mechanisms exist to manage it and see if we can't, you know, achieve some balance and some richness for all the parties.
Do you think there is enough awareness? I mean, do you think consumers are appropriately aware of how much data they're trading for free?
No. For example, even like you said, wipers are innocuous unless you know that they're on, in which case it's raining. But based on speed, we know how much rain, right? It's not the data itself that's necessarily interesting. It's the inferences that can be made. Lots of inferences can be made on lots of data. So I don't think people are fully aware of it. I mean, they may understand it. But every time I use the example of this particular person buying a product and seeing some of the creepy things that she or he thought were happening, I realize people have no understanding of the depth and magnitude of what's happening.
John Ellis is a former global technologist with Ford. The book, The $0 Car, is available now. Business Insider Intelligence says there will be over 380 million cars sending data to the cloud by 2021. Last year, Intel CEO Brian Krzanich said at the LA Auto Show that data is the new oil. If we're going to get control of our info and start trading it for cars, we better hurry up. I'm Molly Wood, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.